Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of the church year. We followed and studied the life and teaching of Jesus the Christ throughout this whole past year, beginning with the first Sunday of Advent of 2015. We've heard Jesus' continual call in the preaching of the gospel to repent of our sins and to trust in Him for the forgiveness of sins. We've received that forgiveness in holy baptism, in the absolution, in the sacrament of the altar, where we've received the communion of the very body and blood of Jesus throughout the year. We've taken counsel from His warnings. We've taken comfort in His promises, and we've taken guidance from His Holy Spirit, who has renewed and strengthened us in faith, in hope, and in love. And starting next Sunday, we'll do it all over again and keep repeating this blessed cycle until Jesus returns again in glory, until the call comes at midnight and the bridegroom arrives. On this last Sunday of the church year, Jesus pleads with His dear Christians, "Watch. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Watch. Keep watching. Be alert. The day is coming, as Paul said, like a thief in the night. Now, those who have had any firearms training are probably familiar with something called levels of awareness or levels of readiness. And there are four such levels: unaware, aware, alert, and alarmed. I'll spare you the firearms applications and apply it directly to the state of readiness for Christ's coming. Now, some, those who don't believe in Christ or care about His word, are living in a perpetual state of unaware. They're oblivious to what's going on around them, to the truth about who God is, who Jesus is, and what He has done for us. They don't believe He is coming for judgment at all. And so they go on living in their arrogance, idolatry, and unbelief. They're in darkness, as St. Paul put it. And the day of the Lord will come upon them like a thief for their eternal destruction. Many Christians also fit into this category of unaware. They are the Christians in name only, who know nothing and who care to know nothing about the doctrine of Christ. They have an idea of who Jesus is that they've made up in their own heads, and they're content to know their made-up version of Jesus and consider themselves Christians based on that made-up version. But they have no awareness of their great need of the forgiveness of sins, nor faith in the blood of Christ to cleanse them of it. They think of Christianity as one valid religion among many. They would hate the real Jesus if they knew Him. Such people are unaware that Christ, the real Christ, the one revealed in Scripture, is coming like a thief, and unaware of what is necessary to be prepared for that day. But we are not like those who don't know the thief is coming, are we? We are sons of light and sons of the day, as St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. We do know for sure that the day is coming, even though we don't know exactly when it's coming. We know who Jesus is. We are aware. how foolish we would be then not to keep watch, not to also be alert, focused, prepared to meet the bridegroom when the call comes. Like 5 of the 10 virgins were in Jesus' parable. They were not alert, even though they were aware. All 10 young ladies were aware that the bridegroom was coming. They were eager, in fact, to go out to meet him. But they did not all keep watch. They were not all alert. They did not all prepare for his coming. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Half of them were not ready when the call came and were locked out of the wedding feast forever. Half of those who started off well, who started off eager to meet the bridegroom. Stop and take note of that. As Jesus describes the times leading up to his coming at the end of this age, he doesn't depict for us a Christian church that is mostly prepared, that is mostly in a state of readiness, where practically all Christians are going to go out to meet the bridegroom with joy when he comes, with just a few, maybe, stragglers at the end who are oblivious and unprepared. No, what picture does he paint? He shows a Christian church in which a full half of Christians are caught unalert and unprepared for his advent. This is nothing for us to pass over lightly and pretend that we can just go on with our earthly lives and not really pay attention to it or care about it, stop thinking about it. That would be foolish, not wise. Now, what did the 5 wise virgins do? What made them wise in the first place? The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They were aware that the bridegroom was coming. They were aware of their need to have burning lamps upon his arrival. They were aware that they didn't know how long it would take for him to get there, and they were aware that fire consumes fuel. Everyone's aware of that, right? We all know that's what fire does. It consumes fuel. The fire in these candles is just about to consume the oil that is in these candles. If we didn't have more, we wouldn't have candles, at least not lit ones. And so, being aware of all of those things, the wise virgins, the 5, did what they had to do. They were alert. They were prepared. They brought extra oil with them in their vessels to keep their lamps burning all through the night in case it would take that long. And it did get them through the night so that when the midnight call rang out, they were ready to go straight out to meet the bridegroom. The foolish virgins, on the other hand, took no extra oil along with them. It doesn't say that they forgot to take extra oil or that they had no opportunity to acquire extra oil. No, they chose not to take it. They neglected to take it, even though they knew their lamps couldn't possibly stay lit all through the night with the oil that they had in them. See, they were counting on the bridegroom to arrive relatively early. They assumed that they would have plenty of oil to last until then, but he didn't, and they didn't. And their lamps went out, and they went straight from being vaguely aware that the bridegroom was coming sometime that night, past the alert stage, straight to being alarmed at his coming. And they should have been. Because while the 5 wise virgins accompanied the bridegroom and the procession joyfully into the wedding hall, The five foolish virgins scrambled to find a cellar of oil at that hour. They were too late, weren't they? They finally showed up at the wedding hall when the door was already shut. And they knocked and called, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Locked out of the wedding hall, just like the rest of the world is locked out, even though they started out as friends and servants of the bridegroom. Locked out of the wedding hall, no longer acknowledged even by the bridegroom, just as all those who fail to watch for Christ's coming will be denied by Christ, locked out of heaven and sentenced to eternal darkness and torment in hell because they neglected the means by which they should keep their lamps burning. What are these precious burning lamps, which alone are required for entrance into eternal life? They are the burning lamps of faith. Not just any faith, of course, but faith in the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And not just the knowledge of who this God is, but the reliance on this God and the trust in this God to save us poor sinners who deserve only His wrath and punishment, to save us for the sake of Christ alone, who died for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. It's as simple as John 3, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." But hear what the Holy Spirit teaches us in today's gospel. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved, or once a believer, always a believer. On the contrary, many who have made a good beginning, believing in Christ for salvation, have later on made shipwreck of their faith, as St. Paul writes. In order for faith to remain, in order to persevere in the faith until the end, a ready supply of oil is needed. That oil is the gospel as it's preached and as it's administered in the Holy Sacraments. The vessels that hold it, the vessels which themselves are nothing but which hold that important oil, are the ministers of the Word, whom God has called and given to His church. And what did Jesus say those ministers are given to do? "Feed My lambs. Take care of My sheep until He comes. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Or as Peter wrote, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, coming to church, to the divine service regularly, often, is an integral part of being not just aware of Jesus coming, but alert and ready. Of course, not just coming, but listening to Jesus, trusting Jesus, living in daily contrition and repentance, holding out your beggar's hand and seeking mercy and charity from Jesus, just because He is merciful. That's being alert and prepared. I'll warn you again, as I've warned you before, if it's within your power, don't move to a place where the pure teaching of the Word is absent. Don't take a job that will prevent you from receiving the supply of oil your faith will need to keep it burning brightly. Don't let the concerns and cares of this life keep you from hearing the gospel. Don't marry a person who does not adhere to the pure teaching of Christ and who will not help you keep watch for His coming. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And all of those things are ways that people test God. On the other hand, if you find yourself in any of these situations, and it's not within your power or divinely given prerogative to change it, pray to God that He will provide the strength and the means for you to attend to the faith that He has given. Use every opportunity that He provides and puts at your disposal. We have new daily Bible reading booklets available today, if that will help anyone to stay close to the Word, to keep close to it, and keep learning it and studying it and hearing it. The Christian life is not like a flash of light that burns brightly for a moment and then you're in heaven. It's the slow and steady flame of a lamp that needs to keep burning for years, for decades, as you walk in great weakness here below, fighting constantly against the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh, bearing the cross patiently, always watching, always alert, knowing that Christ will come soon, and that soon just might be today, or could be 100 years from now. You have to be ready for either scenario. Daniel wrote in his prophecy, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Take the wisdom that God has provided for you again today in the gospel. Take it into the new church year with you and use it. You're aware of what's coming. You're sons of light and sons of the day. So be alert. Take the words of Paul to the Thessalonians with you too. "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.